Here, we're given tonight basically to the Restore-a-thon and getting started in the morning, and it is a physically hard time for 3 days, but it's a fun time, it's a joyous time. As Myra was singing, the grace is sufficient. We asking God for sufficient grace to get us through. And believe that he will. Most of you would know probably, but every time we come to Restore-a-thon, I get to thinking about the radio and the blessing God's raised it up to be with us. But in the beginning, right over this same pulpit here, we had a 15-minute radio program on Sunday morning over the AM station that we had out here for a long time, and just recently been torn down. 15 minutes, 8:15 on Sunday morning. Then later on, we were able to get the 11 o'clock service on it. But at that time, the best it would do was just kind of pretty much reach the city limits, a little more than that, but not much. But by the grace of God, we built up a pretty good listening audience on it, a lot of shut-in folks and so forth, and went on for several years that way. And then the manager, owner, sold out to some bad guys, a couple of partners. And they listened to me about one or two Sunday mornings and came to my office to tell me there was going to be a rate hike. And I realized what was going on. Guy sat across the desk from me, and I said, "How much?" And he told me, and I did a little scribbling there, and I said, "That's a pretty good hike. That's 150% increase." And I said, "You know we can't do that." And I looked at him in the eye real good, and I said, "What you're really telling me is you don't want me on the radio. If I were to pay this, you'd raise it again, wouldn't you?" And he said, "Well, I can't officially say that." But he kind of nodded his head that I was right. They had taken the station over. They had painted it with Halloween colors, literally. And they called themselves putting on verbal pornography over the radio station. And I told him, I said, "Well, truth is, I don't want to be on your station anymore anyway." And I said, "Not with the format you've got going now." And when the news got out, I said, "How much more time?" He said, "Well, you got another Sunday, I think, paid for." So I got up on that Sunday. I was already getting letters and notes from shut-in folks and others that said, "Preacher, we'll pay it. We want to keep you on there." I said, "No, he'd raise it again." And I said, "We're just not going to do that." So anyway, I got up on Sunday morning and I was telling everybody it was the last time, and I was telling folks, "God's in charge, you know, just accept the Lord's in this thing." And I made a statement I did not have planned to say, and that statement was, if God wanted to, he could give us the station. Well, to shorten the story up, he did. They went out of business, the place got vandalized and grown up, and through circumstances we wound up with it. And we had to repair it and get it on the air and all that, but that put us in the radio business. Then following up on that, we were fortunate enough to get the FM, which had the bigger coverage and bigger opportunity. We kept the AM until just recently and lost the lease on the land and had to close it down. We'd gone to broadcasting in Spanish on the AM because there was no reason to duplicate in English what we were doing on the FM. So our Restore-a-thon has to do with the budget concerning the FM, and it's become basically worldwide in the sense that folks can plug in on the internet and so forth, and that's some above my level of understanding, but we hear from so many. And we'll have a few testimonies tonight. Maybe we'll even have some report on that. But we hear also from a lot of folks locally. And that's a blessing to me. We were doing Brother Stanley's ordination service. I believe it was last Wednesday night, wasn't it? He's taking the church over there between Auburndale and Lakeland, and we were doing the ordination service there. And there was a guy, Brother Stanley said, "Now don't take pictures till after the service," but there was a guy come up and got there. He was one of the deacons. He's making a picture of me there as I was the interrogator. And he said, "I've listened to you 20 years on the radio station. I deserve a picture." "I've listened to you for 20 years. I thought I heard my wife say he deserves a medal, but anyway." But anyway, we went on through the service and had a great service over there. It was tremendous. And when it was over, they were making pictures and we were signing Bibles and stuff down there. And there was a guy sitting there on about the second row. And when I finally got a chance, I reached over and shook hands with him. And he said, "I know you don't remember me." He said, "I'm 85 years old now." I said, "I'm a deacon in this church." But he said, "I used to pull for you to win races on the racetrack sitting in the stands." So he said, "I've been pulling for you longer than he's been listening to you on the radio." A lot of testimonies. You don't know what's going on and the power of the radio station reaching out there and who God's working. I got a note right here, for instance. It says, I enjoy listening to your gospel music on 90.3. I have radios in all of my tractors, and we usually listen to 90.3. Thank you for the good work you do." Now, tractors is not farm tractors. I think he's talking about 18-wheeler type tractors, semi-tractors. "We usually listen to 90.3. Thank you for the good work you do." And he sent a $300 check. So that's good. Those kind of testimonies that we pick up just every now and then, and hear about folks being saved because they listen on the radio. And so we praise the Lord for that. As you heard the report there on the souls at the fair, the bottom line is getting the gospel out to reach every soul we can. At the same time, it's a great encouragement to Christians, to believers. Helps them to grow in the Lord. And, you know, more souls are saved as more Christians stay cheered up and fired up. Very few depressed, down in the dumps, dragging the bottom lip Christians win very many souls. As folks that are happy about their salvation have the joy of the Lord in their heart. And the radio station kind of goes with us day by day. It's almost church every day of the week. And the uplift and the blessings. So as we kick it off tomorrow to start the Restore-a-thon, it is a great cause and it is worthwhile. And it's worth your prayers and your giving and asking God to continue to bless it. I'm going to turn it over to Stephen. He may be having some of the DJs or somebody come up and give us a word of testimony here, but I appreciate the work that goes on. Now, we've been on a shoestring staff down there and a shoestring budget for a long time now, but God is blessed with a lot of long hours and hard work and getting the job done. Even sometime catch myself preaching on there late at night when I'm coming home. Came home last night from a meeting, and of course my wife saw the car lights flash when I pulled up in front of the garage. And I was listening to my own self on the radio. Now that's getting pretty desperate, but I was. And I just sat in the car trying to see what I was going to say next. What mistake I was going to make next. What I was going to do to the King's English next. And I saw her come look out and look out. I'd already prepared what I was going to tell her when I walked in. I knew she was going to say, "What are you doing? Sitting in the car?" I was going to say I was listening to a good sermon. I don't know if she'd believe that or not. But anyway, we have a lot of blessings connected with the radio station. Really do. And so again, I hope you're praying for it. I'm going to ask Stephen to come see what he wants to do here.
All right, we'll have, maybe in a little bit, I think we'll have enough time tonight. Maybe we could ask for some testimonies. Maybe if there's something special about the Restore-a-thon that you'd like to share with others tonight, you could maybe think about that a little bit. And if you want to be in on this tonight, we could, as we prepare our hearts and minds for something special, and that's what Restore-a-thon always is every year, and we'll maybe have a little bit of time here before the service is over to hear from a few folks, and that would be a blessing. We are going to hear from some of the men that work at the radio station here in just a little bit. My dad was giving you kind of a history lesson there about our radio station and what a blessing it has been. For those of you that have been around long enough to remember back before we had the radio station, then you can, if you think about it, you have to stop and think about it, just like we have to stop and think about how good God's been to us and how wonderful it is to have the Lord Jesus Christ do for us what he did and offering us the salvation through his work. You have to stop and think about those things. That's why the Bible tells you to keep things in remembrance. And that's why we even do some of the ceremonies we do in the local churches for remembrance, remembering what God has done for us. But if you've been around long enough, which means you had to been around here since the 80s, I was preaching somewhere the other week and I talked about, you know, the 80s were actually a long time ago now, believe it or not. We don't think about it that way, some of us, but some, you know, there's quite a few of these college kids that were born in the mid to late 80s, and they're in college, so we've got to think about that a little bit. That'll hurt your feelings if you do, but the 80s were actually a long time ago, and before 1986, we didn't have a radio station. Our church didn't have a radio station, and we got the AM station there in 1986. I remember my dad was driving his big black Caprice Classic. How many of you remember that car? Amen. Thank you. I see those hands. You may put them down. And you know what my dad did with that car, by the way? He took the little peg that's in the circular speedometer. He took that out so it could go past the 85 or whatever was allotted there. And he took red tape and he, you know, kind of cut it out a half moon shape there, put it at the end of that circular speedometer, and he put in black letters 120 on there. Anyway, I don't know if some of you might remember that if you rode in that car with him. Anyway, does that sound very grown up to you? No, I'm just kidding. I remember riding around Winter Haven, riding around through Haines City and going into Winter Haven there, down the main stretch, and Dad was checking that AM station out to see how good a coverage we had. And I remember sitting there in the passenger seat and going down different roads to see how good we could pick up the broadcast. That was on the AM station, 9:30 on the AM dial there. And my dad had an old car phone. My wife asked me the other day, she saw a trivia question. She says, do you know when the first cellular phones came out? And I said, I remember when my dad had a phone in his car. It came out as car phones. And I don't even know if that was cellular technology or not. I don't know what kind of technology that would have been. I think there was a string attached to it. And I'm just kidding. And you pulled the string tight. But I remember him calling up the radio station and giving reports about how well he could hear it in different places. And we were so excited about that AM station. We had it for about 4 years there, and we were able to get the 90.3 on the FM dial. And boy, that just took everything to another level there in 1990 when he got the FM station also. And what a blessing that was and has been for all these years. You'd have to know what life was like without it to appreciate it as much as we should appreciate it now. Because it is a blessing. It really is a blessing. And the folks that come down and visit us during these winter months down here in Florida, they always testify, we don't have a radio station like that we're back home where we come from. They always have that to say. And we're so used to hearing it just water off a duck's back, but we ought to stop and think about that. And this is the one time of year where it is good to stop and think about how precious this radio ministry is. Not only for us as a local church and this assembly here, but for all those that are in the broadcast range. And it's a tremendous blessing. God gave us some wonderful years. And I started working at the radio station there, started getting trained there by Brother Cruz, Jeff Cruz. Got another manager Cruz now, Lewis Cruz. I think they're related. Aren't y'all related? Amen. Same last name and different letters there, but same thing. But Brother Cruz was training me back at the end of 94, and I was on the radio there and started in 95, right there at the very end of 94, beginning of 95. And then Rich Lemon came August of that year after summer was over. He started in August of 95 also. And so we went there for about 3 years, 95, 96, 97. And that was the year when the great project came up with our historic hotel building that is now Landmark Baptist College. And so if you remember that first Restore-a-thon started. 1997. I might have the days off just a little bit, but it was something like July 31st, August 1st, and August 2nd. It was whatever would fall there on the Thursday, Friday, Saturday of 1997. That was Restore-a-thon number uno right there. That was the first one. That was the original BRD right there, the big radio deal. And we did that in 1997, and that was the only Restore-a-thon we had at the old studio, the old AM studio, which now does not exist anymore. And we had a wonderful time out there. We didn't know what we were doing. We just decided we'd go on and ask folks to call in and participate and help pledge funds that'll help us with the restoration of the hotel building. And that was the summer of all that work and everything and all the Lord did and those tremendous miracles. You look back on it now, it seems impossible humanly speaking, and by the way it is, but God did all that, amen? And he used his folks to do all that, and what tremendous memories those are. And 1997 was a few years ago now, believe it or not. But that was the first original Restore-a-thon, the one we had there at that old building. Somebody, Brother Scott, I believe it was talking to me, I guess it was, a few months back, talking about he remembered that first Restore-a-thon when we went out and ran around the building. And we did that. And me and Travis Lane, Trooper Travis, and Cletus did that. And limp and everything. He ran around that building, and we had a good time with that. Matt, you're probably in on that too, making those laps. And that was a small building, but it was big for us to run around it, you know. So I noticed we haven't done that trick since we moved to the new facility. But anyway, but that was that special year, and the Lord gave us $52,000 that was raised that year in Restore-a-thon 97. I remember what a blessed time that was, a celebration. I still maybe have some cassette tapes, and I don't want to teach you science what a cassette tape is, but I'm just kidding around there, but I might still have some cassette tapes that have some of the recordings from that first Restore-a-thon on it, and that was number one. And so the first year we had it, of course, in the new studio, current studio, was 1998, and the Lord gave us a wonderful increase that year. And we saw $100,000 raised in Restore-a-thon 1998. Now, I can't tell you all the numbers for every year. In fact, we were talking about this last week. Some I have some guesses. I used to really rely on my memory, and I should have wrote things down better than I have, because sometimes I definitely second-guess myself too much to try and give you a rundown for each year. But I'm leading all up to say this. This year, Restore-a-thon 2011 will be our 15th Restore-a-thon. It's hard to believe, isn't it? 15 years of Restore-a-thons. Most of these younger folks, they think the Restore-a-thon is just something that's always been. But it did have a beginning. It started 15 years ago. And I know we've gotten used to Restore-a-thon now. That first one and some of those first ones, they were so new and so special and such revival that it was just, I mean, it was electric in the atmosphere. And folks really, really got a blessing out of it. But now that we've had it every year, and there's been so many of them, it's just kind of like something you do, you know? It's just everything, we're just human, so everything becomes a habit to us after a while. But I've been thinking about some of these things. I know a lot of you have also. I just don't want us to lose how precious and how important Restore-a-thon is because of how important the radio ministry is. And we should not take it for granted. If we did not have it, it would affect our lives negatively. There would be a void there. There's a verse there that we used to put it on our letterhead, of course, every year, or the old letterhead we printed at the radio station, but it's Colossians 3, verse 16. And the Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. One of the ways God has allowed us to see a wonderful verse like that in Colossians 3:16 come to pass in our hearts and lives as believers is the radio station. You can hear things from the Word many times a day. You can hear those songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and God can minister to you. I know people have different tastes when it comes to music, and we definitely play a wide variety of music on the radio station, but there's a lot of blessing to be had with the broadcast that God allows us to have through our radio ministry, and it's just been such a blessing. I hope we can remember that and relish that. One of the things, I've been a part of all the Restore-thons, all 15 of them. Some of them, maybe we, you know, was really in on the planning and there for every moment of it almost, some of them, but not as much probably in recent years, but been a part of every one of them, at least a small part. And it always kind of boggles your mind that if we could just get everybody to have a little part in the Restore-a-thon, it'd make the job real easy. It would, as many people as listen to the radio station, you can't go anywhere without running to people that listen to the radio station. Like my dad talks about all the time, I've been in restaurants or a store or something, and my dad's spoken, and I've heard people hear his voice and say, you know what, you're on the radio, aren't you? And he's got that distinct voice, and I've had that happen in my presence several times, and that happens to him quite often. There's a lot of folks that listen to the radio station, and if everybody would just do something with it, give back just a little bit with it, there'd be more pledges, more phone calls, which makes it really exciting when you're doing the broadcast, that there'd be enough funds to see the budget restored year in and year out. And so that's a good way to pray as we enter into these three wonderful days of Restore-a-thon, is for everybody just to do something, that God would move upon folks and have them do something. Something else that's very special is tomorrow, our first day of Restore-a-thon, is February the 24th. And a lot of you can remember that means it's already the 7th anniversary of Brother Rich Lemon's homegoing, as he went to heaven 7 years ago. It was a Tuesday that week of February the 24th of the year 2004. And that kind of blows your mind when you think about that Brother Rich has been in heaven there already those 7 years for us. And that makes it special too, because Rich was such a big part of the ministry here, and of course the radio ministry and Restore-a-thon and everything else. And I think some folks might wonder about us sometimes, because we always talk about him and Restore-a-thon, but the Lord took him home during Restore-a-thon time of year, and so it just kind of always works out that way. And this year, even our first day being the anniversary of his homegoing, and so it's just a special time for us for many different reasons, and so there's a reason to pray about it. There's a reason to participate in it and seek the Lord for it. I believe we do a good job with our radio broadcast. I really do. I'm thankful for the men that work out there and the employees that work out there and do such a good job, and I believe we're good stewards of what God has given us. And I know it's the Lord's will for that ministry to continue. And so let's just be sure to seek the Lord as he gives us opportunity here in the next few days to have just a blessed time of truly what can be revival on the radio. And we've experienced that before, and we can definitely experience that again. So let's definitely continue to pray about that. We do want to hear from a few folks tonight. There's still got about 20 minutes left, because we normally let out about 35 after because of the kids club that's going on over here at the gymnasium. I want to hear from, of course, from some of our men that work at the radio station. I want to hear from Brother Matt and Brother Lewis. But this time I'd like to ask Mrs. Cothran if she would come up. And this is Diane Cothran, and probably most of you know her, but she is Richie's mom. And she's going to have a special part with the morning broadcast in the morning. And she had some ideas about that. And so I'd like to ask every one of you to make sure you start with us in the morning at 7, okay? And I know we all got our morning routines, but try and be a part of that. And it's something special, and we thank the Lord for that. But have Miss Diane speak to us for a little bit.
I'm a natural-born Floridian, so don't expect a Chicago hitman. But I love that. Every time I hear it, I just laugh. So many things on the radio make me laugh. Hearing Rich's voice makes me laugh, makes me smile. One of the concerns we've always had as staff and family is, where do you draw the line? You know, where do you stop remembering Richie? And I've had to deal with that. But in the last couple of years, God has given me great peace in that it was part of his plan. And everything is a part of God's plan. So we use it for God's good and for God's glory. And Richie would have it no other way, not for his own pride, not even for our own pride, but for God's glory. And that's what it's all about. So me, who does not fortunately have to get up and go to a job, I'm going to be pushing it to get up at 7 o'clock. But I invite you to get up. We do have something special right at 7 o'clock. If you get up at 7:01, you're going to miss it. So you have to have it on at 7 o'clock. But I do kind of have a funny story, and it's funny in one way and it's not. When Richie was dying, April and I, we had the radio on the whole time he was sick. He just listened to that. He would just go crazy if he didn't have it on. But when he was actually passing away, we had the radio on and they were playing Draw Me Nearer. And for those of you who don't know, he actually died on the last note of that song. And my husband was in the room, and most of you don't know my husband, he's so quiet, but when he says something, he's one of those that you listen when he actually says something. Anyway, just as Rich passed away, the radio immediately cut to the Landmark Hour. It was early in the morning. And my husband, he was standing over to the side, and he said, "Well, guess he already heard that one." So I thought of that one when the preacher was talking about sitting in the car listening to himself, and I thought, yeah, Richie already heard that one. He's ready to go now. That one's on the list. And then one other blessing I had, you know, the last few days, all we've heard is bad news. Things are falling apart in the Middle East. And I said, isn't it always the way with Satan that right before the Restore-a-thon, he puts us in a frame of mind that I can't afford to do this. I got to hang on to this money. For what? I don't think we're going to be here. But even I was doubting, you know, why do we need to do this? You know, what's the point? You know, the whole world's falling apart. And you get in that frame of mind. Well, I went to my accountant today to pick up my taxes. And as I was sitting there with him, he's a young man, and he knew Rich. And he said, there's a man waiting for my next appointment that I want you to meet. Now, keep in mind, I've never met this man. He's never met me. So when we got through with the appointment, he took me out and he introduced me to this man, and we got to talking. He goes to Calvary in Lakeland. And one thing led to another. I asked him if he knew Chan McMillan. He said, yeah. And I said, well, do you know April, his granddaughter? And he said, yeah. I said, well, she was married to my son. And he said, he was the guy on the radio. I said, yeah, he was the guy on the radio. He said, I never met him, but I went to his funeral. And that was just such a blessing. And that was like every doubt that I've had for the last couple of days just vanished. So the Lord works in that way. Just when you need him most, he provides. And his grace is sufficient. Thank you so much for that song.
All right, appreciate that. That's a blessing to hear from Sister Diane. And I tell you what, she's always worked with us since I've been back here. Well, I guess I've always been down here, even if when I was pastoring up in Georgia, but she'd call on the phone and she'd say, I want you to know, y'all have my permission. I can hear y'all talking around Rich. You're worried about it, but y'all can talk about him and bring him up if you want. The truth is, you worry about something like that, but I've only ever had one lady say something to me about it, a lady, you know, that lived over in the Kissimmee area, and not even negative. But just had mentioned that. So for the most part, I think a lot of the folks that have been listeners of our radio station understand how the special relationship there, and how special Richie was to us, and so we can't help but talk about him when the opportunity presents itself. And the Lord has used that for healing and a blessing, and I'm so thankful for that, and thankful for Mrs. Cothran also, and her sharing with us. And make sure you tune in the morning. All right, there you go. There's a call to action right there. Even though it's non-commercial radio, we can have those kind of types of call to action. And so I'd like to encourage you to tune in first thing in the morning. I'd like to ask Brother Matt and Brother Lewis to come up here. We got We got about, I don't know, 13 minutes or so left here. And I know Brother Matt, maybe except for one or two Restore-a-thons, has been a part of every one of them. Maybe one year he was snowed in Kentucky up in the mountains and couldn't get back down here. But he's been a part pretty much of every one of them. And Brother Cruz has been, of course, a part of quite a few of them, including that last one that Rich was a part of. Rich actually went to heaven right there at the beginning, or a couple days before Restore-a-thon 2004. And don't forget, if my memory is correct, we raised the most that's ever been called in and raised for support that year, the year that Brother Rich went home. And I believe it was $323,000, somewhere a little over that. But I remember that amount, and that was mind-boggling. That's what the Lord did in memoriam to Rich that year, how many folks called in and appreciated Brother Rich and his testimony and his memory. Well, who wants to go first? All right? Age before beauty, right? Okay.
I think I've just been insulted. I just want to say amen to everything that's been said. It truly is a privilege to have a part of the ministry. And let me just emphasize something. This is our radio station. The Lord has given it to this church. And it's a ministry just like the buses and Sunday school and you name it. And it truly is. And we do our very best to reflect the Landmark Baptist Church over the airwaves. We are Landmark's voice of faith. That's our call letters. That's what it means. And just want to encourage you. I say it on the radio. Sometimes people just, you know, they hear it so much, they drown it all out. But I do want to encourage you to experience it for yourself. I came here as a college student back in 2000, and I remember people talking about a Restore-a-thon, and I looked up in the dictionary, I didn't see that word there. And then they explained to me what it meant, and trying to restore the budget. It was the pledge drive and so forth. And let me just tell you, boy, the excitement in that college building, it was electric. I'm telling you, it was just an amazing thing. And us college kids, of course, we like to get out of class every once in a while, but we truly were very excited about it, participating in it, and seeing the biggest thing, especially for a young college student, is to see God working. I mean, man, he just worked, and, you know, just when you needed that last dollar, he gave you two or three, and it was just a true blessing. So let me encourage you. This is your ministry. It's your radio station. Come on out. Join us. We'll have plenty of folks there to greet you, and when we're off the air, we'd love to go down and chat with you and have some of that Baptist holy water, coffee, you know. We'll have some of that, and we'll just have plenty of things for you there. So come on out and experience it with us, and tune in tomorrow morning, as Ms. Diane said. Brother Stephen mentioned I came on board the year Richie went home to be with the Lord. And that's left an impression on me that year. It really has. Those guys who were involved with it and ladies and all that, man, it was just something special that year. And the Lord just proved himself mighty in every way imaginable. And in the years after that, God is good all the time. And just, you know, I'm excited about it. I'm just looking forward to seeing what God will do. I'm just looking forward to seeing what God will do. So let me encourage you to be a part of it. And as Pastor Stephen said, if everyone did what they could, or what the Lord laid on their heart, we wouldn't have any needs. I mean, needs would be met. And I really truly believe that. So please continue to pray for it and enjoy it with us. And those of you listening online, this Restore-a-thon is just as much for you as it is for people in this auditorium. Because it does cost to stream the audio, and a lot of you are homebound and you're bed-stricken and you can't get out, but this radio and the internet has been a blessing to you. People from over 90-something countries last year, and hundreds of thousands of hours people spent online. So encouraging you, and I challenge you to get involved as well and tune in. We're going to have a webcam, and people could look on the internet, laugh at us, see how we really look, you know, have faces for radio and all that good stuff. So please be keen to pray for it and tune in, and don't miss out on the blessing. Because the Lord will bless you if you participate and do what he asks you to do, as he always does. Thank you.
You know, there's a lot of things that happen in the course of our lives, and a lot of times they're life-changing events. And I think that for a lot of folks, that's what Restore-a-thon is when you get involved. I mean, it gives you a tremendous insight as to seeing God work in the lives of people and then through the radio station. I thought of two things when Stephen asked us to come up here. First of all, one of them is when I've gone up north and driving back down, get about to Claremont. It's about when you can get the radio station, maybe a little south of Claremont, sometimes in Claremont. And just the great feeling of satisfaction and just that warm feeling I get of being able to get our home right, knowing I'm close to home, and there's nothing like that. And now folks all over the world, and the only Restore-a-thon that I missed, I was up in Kentucky pastoring. We did listen to it online that year, and that was one of the first years we were able to, folks were able to, and we enjoyed every bit of it. And a couple weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago now, I got a call from a man, and it sounded like he was right up the street, but he was calling from Seoul, South Korea. And it was, I think it was the evening there when he called. And he said, you know, he said, my wife and kids live in Davenport. I'm stationed over here on a one-year unaccompanied tour. And I just want you to know that you guys and the radio station is a tremendous blessing to me all the way across the other side of the world. And that was tremendous. I mean, that was exciting to hear that. So 3 days of Revival on the radio. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. Not worried about what's going on in the world. I just know God's in control, and he's in control. Restore-a-thon. And it's going to be great, and I hope everybody gets involved and participates.
Amen. Well, thank you, Myatt, Lewis. We gave the service tonight to talk about Restore-a-thon. It is a tremendous part of our ministry. It really, in a sense, keeps you up with the rest of the ministries, because the news goes out over the air. And it is a miracle ministry, because we couldn't have it, we couldn't afford it, we couldn't pay the bills on it if the Lord didn't bless in an unusual way, like he has and like he does, and like we're trusting him to do one more time. The testimonies are just tremendous that come in about it. And of course, appreciate what Sister Diane said tonight. Every time Rich's voice still comes on the air, and it still does once in a while, it's special to me. And I appreciate the fact she and April both granted us the privilege to keep it on, because we went to them, we wondered whether they could handle that or not, and they agreed we could keep it on. And that was Richie was dying with leukemia, and many of you remember how, even after he couldn't leave the hospital room, and he left it several times, probably when he shouldn't have, but he'd push himself to do. Most of you that were here the night that he spoke, and I brought a stool up here for him to sit on. His suit was just hanging on him. He was just perishing away with the cancer. And he never sat down on the stool. He just got going and preached a powerful, powerful message. And then of all the time, and it just looked like the devil was going to get the victory, Richie died, and his funeral had to be during Restore-a-thon. And I wondered what in the world, this is going to bring the spirit down, it's going to kill everything, what are we going to do? And I just honestly did what God led me to do, and we had the funeral here in the building. The building couldn't hold the crowd. I saw very quickly that it couldn't hold the crowd. I didn't make any announcement ahead of time that I was going to do it, but I just called up the station and I said, put the funeral on the air. Just put it on the air, because the people can't get in the building, and they loved him that much. just put the funeral service on the air. And they did. And by the time that funeral service was over, and it was a long service time, we went to the graveside. We got back and just had those last hours. That was Saturday afternoon, wasn't it, Stephen?
Yes.
And coming down to the midnight hour. And God got in that thing. We couldn't answer the phones and write the pledges down fast enough. And I got all kind of calls saying, "Preacher, we appreciate so much that you put the funeral on the air, that we could have that part in it." And that was our record given. Over 300,000 came in. And so God used something I felt like, humanly speaking, was going to be adverse. And God made something great out of it. Just made a great, great victory out of it. And tremendous. Now, we're trusting him again to do something that we can't plan and figure out. We're prepared as we can be. We've planned as much as we can be. But you'll still notice through the Restore-a-thon, we are counting on the Lord. We are trusting his spirit to take over. And so as you pray, I hope you pray that way. Get above our preparations, get above our plans, get above our organization, and let the Lord do what only he can do. That's what we're trusting for. That's what we're asking for. Amen. All right, let's stand, please. I want to say this. Sunday's coming too. Now it's my hope I can stand here Sunday morning and rejoice of a great victory. Sunday's coming, and that's important. Choir, you're important on Sunday morning. You're important all the time. And we got folks coming that need to hear the gospel. We need the atmosphere where the Spirit of the Lord can work. And so I want to encourage you tonight. Come on, get ready. And it'll take the grace of God for us to be up to 1 a.m. Sunday morning and come back in here and not go to sleep, but to be fired up for God. And I believe he'll give us a victory. That's what'll happen, don't you? I really do.